what kind of society do we want to live in? Mm-hmm. Are we comfortable with a society where someone can have a personal helipad mm-hmm. while this city is experiencing the highest rates of people experiencing homelessness mm-hmm. since the Great Depression? Mm-hmm. Should those two things coexist mm-hmm. at the same time?
That's Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speaking at an event in New York City on Martin Luther King Day. Just one day later, the annual retreat for the world's ultra-rich and well-connected, known as the World Economic Forum at Davos, began. And not surprisingly, Ocasio-Cortez's proposed 70% marginal tax rate was on everyone's mind, including billionaire Michael Dell, the CEO of Dell Technologies.
Michael Dell, do you support this?
I just want to say I'm thrilled that they're asking.
Wow.
And then Howard Schultz, billionaire and former CEO of Starbucks, announced he's considering an independent candidacy for president. Schultz quickly made a distinction between his vision of America and that of many Democratic frontrunners.
I'm not a Democrat. I don't affiliate myself with the Democratic Party, who's so far left, who basically wants the government to take over health care, which we cannot afford, the government to give free college to everybody, and the government to give everyone a job, which basically is $40 trillion on the balance sheet of $21.5 trillion. We can't afford it.
Here with me now is Anand Giridharadas, journalist and author of Winners Take All, The Elite Charade of Changing the World. Anand, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, despite my not being a billionaire.
That, you know, I'm not either, so I guess we can kind of sit this one out, I guess.
Give it time.
I don't know. I'm working on it, you know. I'll tell you, I mean, even a billion, million, you know. But we do know that there are lots of billionaires who are suddenly interested in politics, and I'm wondering one in particular, Schultz, why did his announcement strike such a nerve?
I actually think, you know, like many rich people who live in bubbles, you know, the last thing he knows is kind of what's going on. And he announced, he couldn't have announced at a worse moment, just the way Davos couldn't have happened at a worse moment. For the first time in my lifetime, and as someone who's been reporting on this for years, we are actually having a new conversation in America about plutocracy and billionaires, right? The question of whether we should even have billionaires, I'm not sure I can recall a moment where that's been an admissible question in American life. It's a question I've been raising on my book tour for the last few months. And even I would say 4 or 5 months ago when I was raising that question, the gasps were, you know, maybe a little outnumbered the applause. And I saw that changing over the last few months. And you had a wave election. You have people like Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez raising these questions, people like Elizabeth Warren raising these questions. And then you have these out-of-touch people going to Davos, celebrating their own self-interested magnanimity, making the world a better place, even as they continue to hoard more and more of the world's wealth and power. And so when Howard Schultz gets in and says, you know, I'm the solution, I, a billionaire, am the solution to a bad billionaire president, in his view and in my view, who I think was in many ways occasioned and rose to power because an entire billionaire class had left so many Americans shut out of the American dream. The idea that billionaires are going to save us from a billionaire who only rose to power because of the predation of billionaires is so laughable. And I think if he was a little less rich, he might be a little more in touch with kind of where people are in this country.
Well,
right now. And
I also wonder, I mean, part of the reason why we wanted to talk about this was because it's one thing to be a billionaire, though I personally and you obviously, Anand, we don't know what that feels like. But it's one thing to be a billionaire, and it's another thing to say things that that these folks have been saying, which is, you know, we just came out of a government shutdown where thousands of Americans were struggling to make ends meet. So to me, there seems to be a real disconnect between saying or telling Americans that, you know, Medicare for all is too expensive or taxing the uber wealthy doesn't make sense, when we're in a moment when Americans have clearly shown that many of us are working paycheck to paycheck.
I think at the heart of the problem is that there's a context in America in which billionaires have had way too much power. They've way over-indexed the amount of power they should have over the last generation.
And why do they think they can connect with average Americans, too? I mean, to be president would assume that you need to connect with your constituency.
And look how disconnected. So you had a couple comments, first of all, which I just want to condemn simply. I mean, Howard Schultz has now used the phrase un-American or non-American twice in the first 24 hours of his kind of trial balloon, right? He called Kamala Harris's ideas un-American. He called, you know, some of the ideas emerging from Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez's office un-American. You have Michael Bloomberg getting out there, also sort of, you know, flirting in his awkward, flirtatious way with running himself. And he's sitting there saying, you know, Medicare for all would bankrupt America, bring the country to its knees. You know, these kind of wealth taxes would turn us into Venezuela. I mean, it's so out of touch. What kind of patriot? I'm a patriot. So I actually think America has the fortitude to do what basically most other Western countries have, which is have a national health insurance system. I actually don't think we would be brought to our knees.
I'm just concerned here about the crossover between those who succeed in corporate and private industry in a sort of profit-driven model, who now want to translate those skills, if you will, to what should be not a profit-driven model, is running the government and making sure Americans
yes.
are okay.
It's the closing of an amazing generation-long loop. So this began, and you know, I wrote Winners Take All because I wanted to understand how the rich and powerful had kind of conquered American life. And the loop goes back to the 80s, where they had the Reagan Revolution, get rid of government, get rid of social services, cut taxes, etc. But if they had only stuck with that, they would have, you know, come across as mean-spirited and callous. So what they've done in more recent years, the people who've benefited from this kind of winners-take-all economy, is that they've turned around and stolen the traditional kind of left vocabulary of changing the world, making it a better place. You have Mark Zuckerberg, one of the great monopolists of the modern era, someone who's actively compromised American democracy itself, talking about changing the world, building community, liberating mankind. You know, and every Wall Street bank that caused a financial crisis has this CSR program to empower women or help, you know, minority communities. And I think these billionaire presidential campaigns, and there are, you know, others probably still to come, are testimony to this idea. In a way, the final stage, we already have one maybe billionaire president, and now we have these billionaires who think that only a billionaire can save us from a billionaire. And it's actually high time, in my view, that we regained our confidence as a brave and proud people to make change ourselves and not wait for, you know, billionaire sugar daddies and sugar mommies to make it for us.
Anand Giridharadas is the author of Winners Take All, The Elite Charade of Changing the World. Thanks, Anand.
Thank you for having me.